Listening, Unit 12, page 94, C. Listen again and check your answers.
Segment 1.
Today on Life and Times, we'll be discussing rituals. The mysterious, the dangerous, and the ones that actually heal. First, we talk to Ravi Sadhana about the ritual of firewalking. Ravi, tell us a little bit about this. Is it really as dangerous as it looks?
Firewalking ceremonies have existed for thousands of years, with the earliest known such ritual taking place in 1200 BC. Physicists have taken an in-depth look at the practice to understand how a person can walk on top of burning coals without scorching their feet. They have concluded that, contrary to how it looks, both the duration of contact and the heat conductivity of the coals aren't substantial enough to cause serious injury. Still, it is viewed as a feat of strength and serves as a rite of passage for members of a community and a display of faith in the community's religion.
Who does this practice and what is its purpose?
The ritual has been practiced in various forms by dozens of cultures spanning the globe, from India and Japan to Greece and Spain. The social function of the practice is to build cohesion amongst community members. In studying the physiological changes that occur to the body during the ritual, it was found that the heart and breathing rate of those performing the ritual were synchronized. Emotional bonds are formed as well, and the mind over matter mentality of the ritual helps participants believe they can accomplish great feats in life.
Segment 2.
Continuing our discussion is Scott Bryson, who is here to discuss the phenomenon of hazing rituals. Scott, can you tell us briefly how this practice originated?
Essentially, it was a way for highly exclusive clubs to ensure that new members were dedicated beyond a shadow of a doubt to becoming loyal members. Now, you may be wondering, where did these clubs come from in the first place? As the elite of society became further isolated from the middle and lower classes, they needed some form of social outlet. Hence the formation of these sorts of mysterious underground societies. Prime ministers and other high-ranking officials in government once pledged allegiance to such clubs, and the rites they performed, which in some cases have become public, are often traumatizing, humiliating, and downright dangerous. But all those who accomplish the task successfully have the unwavering trust of the senior members.
But it isn't just elite clubs that force new members through hazing rituals, is it?
Oh gosh, no. In the US, it's such a widely practiced phenomenon. University fraternities and sororities, military academies and school sports teams often feature some type of hazing. And, in addition to being daring and challenging, they are sometimes illegal and can result in a prison sentence. Institutes of higher education and police forces have penalised and suspended groups for conducting hazing rituals, and with good cause too, because in some cases, the ritual can result in death, either directly or by causing a member to later take their own life due to the humiliating nature of the act.
Segment 3.
To conclude on a positive note, we have Jonathan Sawyer here to discuss a ritual that heals our soul, meditation. It's not just for spiritual purposes anymore, is it, Jonathan?
The ritual of meditation has spiritual roots, but it has long since crossed over to secular practitioners who use it to relieve stress rather than connect with deities. Its application has entered the educational realm as well, and studies have shown that the marks of university students increase for those who practice meditation on a regular basis. Researchers believe that the meditation contributed to stress reduction, and, as other studies have shown, students perform better in exams when they feel less pressure in their lives. While behavioural studies seem to bolster the argument that meditation is beneficial, neurologically speaking, more research into what happens in the brain must be conducted, as many of the past studies have been flawed.
I believe there are different types of meditation. Is there one that's practiced more often than others?
The most widely practiced form of meditation including the kind present in the aforementioned educational environments, is transcendental meditation, or TM for short. It is a relatively new form of meditation, having been developed in the 1950s, as opposed to other forms that have been around for millennia. Its popularity, which gained traction in the 1960s and 1970s, is attributed to the founder Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and his development of a training program and subsequent world tour, which brought the method to the masses. Its core technique involves focusing on a mantra, which is a word, phrase, or even a syllable, think the om sound, that is repeated for 15 to 20 minutes. It can be used in conjunction with yoga and is the most widely researched form of meditation, albeit insubstantially so.